You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
General Manager Mickey Loomis spoke last hour. Much, much more on what Saints GM said and didn't say. Very interesting. He was asked, Michael Thomas, deal? New deal? What? Huh? What's going on? He's like, settle down. No comment on that. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up here in a little bit as well. Marlon Fayright's going to chime in next hour as he does as we get ready for NFL draft week. Saints will select in the second round as of now on Friday. No first, no third, no fourth. A pick in the fifth, number 30th overall in that round. Two picks in the sixth round, 4 and 29, and two picks in the seventh round, 17 and 30. So six picks overall for New Orleans as of now. NBA playoffs continue, and of course the Pelicans making a lot of news last week. David Griffin, the new general manager, and then obviously, look, I think what was cool, as we talked about last week, and Brian and Ola East actually called in and made mention too, good news, good press, right? They were a topic of conversation for a couple of days in a positive way. David Grubb covers the Pelicans for Crescent City Sports. DM Grubb's the way to follow on Twitter. Joins us to talk about not only that, but the NBA playoffs here as well. Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Good to talk to you again. How you been?
Isn't it good? I'm doing fine. Isn't it good to actually hear positive national coverage on the Pelicans since the David Griffin hire? What were your thoughts, man, when you sat there Wednesday and listened to David Griffin introduce himself to everyone?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that it gave instant credibility. And I think my friend Les East, who also writes for Crescent City Sports, had a great point when he likened it to the hiring of Jim Fink for the Saints. That it was the first time where the rest of the football world took the Saints seriously. Okay, they're in this business for real. And I think that's the way people, hopefully, as we go down the future, have to see what the results bring. But for that moment, I think that's when people looked at the Pelicans and Gail Benson in particular as she's serious about this. She wants to win basketball games. And I think that is a huge shift in outlook for the way people have viewed this franchise for a decade.
You know, I'm with you. I think that was the number one thing that stood out to me. We had several national guests come on, including Brian Windhorst, and just people that had experience and people I didn't even know that knew David Griffin personally and well, and just told stories about reasonings why and things of that nature. And I think that's the thing that really stood out to me, because at first, David, when the names and the candidates came out as to who's going to be the GM, you're sitting there going, oh, great. He has ties to LeBron, ties to Clutch. And then he drops what he did on Wednesday. And, yeah, I know. Yeah, we're good. We're tight. We have success. But they also know that I mean business, either all in or all out. And the AD thing, I thought it was brilliant because it made it seem, David, that he didn't say, hey, we want AD back and we're going to beg for him. He said, I'll ask him. And if anything, it kind of gave power back to the Pels in that, hey, we're not opposed to keeping this guy. We don't have to really trade him until the trade deadline in February, as Brian Windhorst brought up. So I thought it was a good move to make it look like, hey, I'm not saying you can have him just yet. Let's see what he has to say. And maybe in that conversation, David, it's, look, y'all just keep quiet. Let's make it look like you might be coming back. And then those teams all of a sudden get antsy. And then we can get a little something and we can help you. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I think you're trying to maintain the value of the trade. And part of that, just the due diligence of being the new guy. If you come in and say, I'm dedicated 100% to trading Anthony Davis, and you haven't even assessed what the market is like yet from inside the Pelicans front office, I think that would just be a disservice to everyone involved. You have to come in. You have to say, I need to meet with Anthony. And if Anthony decides he wants to come back, most general managers would be in the position of saying, I'm not just going to give away a top five talent until I absolutely have to. And I think you would also tread, you know, I think David Griffin's the type here that says he's being honest with them. You're either all in or you're all out. He doesn't want to get burned. He doesn't want to get into a situation where Anthony says, well, I'll ride this out for a year, sure, and then we'll see what happens. No, if there's not a guarantee that the extension is going to be signed, then I don't think you see any parts of Anthony Davis come training camp time. But I thought that it was a good thing to say. I thought it also told the rest of the league that you have someone who is not 100% set on any one course of action, that he's going to assess what's happening, and he's going to make the best decision that he sees for the franchise.
He also said on Wednesday, speaking with David Grubb, Crescent City Sports covers the Pelicans for you. He saw Drew Holiday as a foundational building block moving forward. That said, right on cue this weekend, a couple of stories out there, rumors. I wouldn't even say rumors. It's what you and I talk about, the obvious, that Drew Holiday has value. And I think you and I, the last time you were here, we talked about value, right? We were talking about you have value in terms of your stats, and then you have value in terms of not even stats, just what you bring to the franchise, the fact he wants to be here and all of that stuff, which is why I said he's invaluable and I want to keep him. But what do you make of all the chatter? Is it David Griffin at work again trying to create a little buzz?
I think part of it is, again, when last we talked a lot about what's the strategy. So if you go into a strategy that the long term, the best deal you get offered is we're going to strip this roster down to some very young players, then you do start talking about possibly moving Drew Holiday because he has stated that he doesn't want to be a part of a long rebuild. Something that's your absolute last resort. David Griffin is absolutely right when he considers Drew Holiday a foundational piece, because there aren't many guards that you're going to upgrade from if you're moving on from Drew Holiday.
Bingo.
And if that's the case, and you also have him under contract for three more seasons, including this upcoming season, then you're in no rush to move Drew Holiday. Not at the peak of his abilities, not at the, when you have his value locked in contractually, and not when there's no reason to make your team less competitive in the immediate future.
Yeah, look, I'm with you, David. I think that's one of the things that makes sense to me as well. And look, let's be honest, when you look at what he can do on the court, very few two-way players, right? I mean, his defense is one of the elements of it, too, and it brings us into the conversation as we move into the postseason. One of the big storylines in round one is Oklahoma City and Portland. And your C.J. McCollum just last night after the game, you know, sit there and say, look, that sweep stayed with us and motivated them, and it still bothered them, and it's driving them right now. But it really goes to show you the job that Drew Holiday did last year on that backcourt in Portland.
Yeah, I think there absolutely was a focus on not getting caught in those types of situations, but that they were last year, where Drew Holiday was basically able to eliminate the pick and roll from Portland's offense. And they run so much of their offense through the pick and roll, especially with Lillard, and he couldn't do that against Drew Holiday. So I think that when they looked at Russell Westbrook, they wanted to be able to exploit those matchups, and they've been able to do that. And I'm surprised that the series has been as lopsided as it has been, for it to be 3-1 going into game five. But I do think that, you know, Portland is a team that, again, this year, they quietly go about the business of winning 50 games just about every season. They execute. They know who they are. People don't step outside of their roles. They ran into a buzzsaw the last couple of seasons with the Pelicans, and then before that with the Warriors. So, they're better than people like to remember. Mm-hmm. But, I think Oklahoma City should be embarrassed where they are right now.
I was going to get into next if that's the key story. But, David, I mean, I saw Scott Kushner put a video, too, of when the Pels clinched the sweep last year. Just really goes to show you, and maybe why, again, some Pels fans last Wednesday when David Griffin was like, hey, AD, you're back. Like, no. We had hope. We were good. And then, you know, because that's what makes it worse, is that you took care of a really good team, and everyone thought you were taking that next step. But you brought up the Thunder. I am surprised as well. I mean, Paul George is being talked about as an MVP candidate going into the postseason and midway point this regular season. There wouldn't be changes, would they? Do you think it's the head coach as opposed to PG or Westbrook if they get bounced here in the first round?
I just don't know what you do with Westbrook. That's the problem for me, is how do you make him better at the things that he's really bad at, which is shooting in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's shooting below 40%. Again, he shot around 40% for the entire season, but he's shooting 30% from three-point range, and he's taking six of them every game. So, I mean, when the guy who handles the ball as much as Russell does is shooting as poorly as he is, I don't know what a new coach can do. Because, I mean, we're talking about a team that has not advanced past the first round of the playoffs since Kevin Durant left. And Russell Westbrook is supposed to be an MVP and getting pulling down triple-doubles every night, but he's not winning. And so, you know, last year they blamed it on Carmelo Anthony. Well, Carmelo's not here this season. So somebody's got to be accountable for this. And the way their financial situation is, I don't see how they can move a lot of people around. This mm-hmm. is the team they're going to have for the foreseeable future. So what do? Do you fire Billy Donovan and bring in who? Who are you bringing in that's going to make Russell Westbrook into a decent shooter?
Good point. Speaking with David Grubb, covers the Pels for Crescent City Sports. Looking at the playoffs real quick. The winner of this series will take on the winner of the Nuggets and Spurs. That series is 2-2. Probably the most competitive of them right now, right?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, this shows you just the genius of Greg Popovich, because his team is not a very good team individually. You take those guys and, you know, if you just put them on your PlayStation and you put those that assembled that roster, it wouldn't win that many games.
Right.
But they understand what their limitations are, and Popovich makes adjustments from possession to possession, from game to game, better than anybody. His staff as well has to be included in that, because they've been able to take away good, clean shots, which is what Denver loves to create with that offense. And they're just not getting those shots against San Antonio. And then you see that they don't really have an answer for the speed of San Antonio's guards. I mean, they've been so effective offensively and defensively. So it's surprising. I think Denver still wins this series. But, yeah, this is probably a seven-gamer now.
Wow. No doubt. When you look at the top half of the Western Conference bracket, Warriors up 3-1 on this series. Rockets and Jazz on 3-1 in that series as well. Rockets can close out that series tonight at 9:30 in the late game. I'm looking ahead, right? I mean, when you look at the series, Ben, Houston kind of shows you what they've been able to sort of do. And the Warriors got tested at one game, dropped one to the Clippers, and now they're asserting themselves for sure. And your thoughts on Steve Kerr with his comment to AD, apparently, with his choice of T-shirt wearing.
That was funny. And I mean, he did cut it off before it went too far. But,
right.
You know, Kerr always has a good sense of humor about these things, and just as far as gauging where the league is, both on behalf of the players and sometimes just the absurdity of it all. So I liked it.
Do you think Rockets and Warriors will be a 6-7 game series?
Oh, I think it. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the thing that makes that series so great is the contradiction in styles. You know, just like in boxing, styles makes fights. And what Houston is able to do in their series that they will not be able to do against Golden State is to get those isolations up top with James Harden. It just can't happen against a team like the Warriors, who has enough long defenders who can switch and who won't play this Utah. I don't understand why Utah has been trying to force Harden to his right. It has not worked. I mean, he did shoot horribly in the last game, but you're just giving away open looks to an entire side of the court. Golden State doesn't have to do that. They have guys who can recover. They have guys who can switch, defend multiple positions. They won't get caught in pick and rolls with Clint Capella. But at the same time, they can get James Harden going downhill. And we know that when he gets into those situations, he's been able to cause foul trouble against the Warriors and get himself in a position to create enough points on his own to make them, you know, a good challenge to Golden State. They went 7 last year with Chris Paul on the sideline. So, yeah, I think they go 7 again. Whoever wins the series wins the West.
Wow, there you go. I'm with you on that, just kind of looking at how it's all shaping up and looking at it from that perspective. The other thing I want to get into, obviously, in the East, how surprised are you? The Nets series is fun almost just by the stuff outside of on the court, right? I mean, you have the general manager now being suspended in that 76ers. You got players laughing at one another from the Sixers. That has been a social media just enjoyment for that series to me.
I love playoff beef. I mean, there has to be
there
somebody.
There you go, playoff beef.
You know, don't get along. This is what it's supposed to be. This is when it's supposed to be chippy and edgy, and it is supposed to be taken personally. I mean, you know, the money's not the same, so let's get personal about it. And I love Jared Dudley and Ben Simmons going after each other. And the dismissiveness of Joel Embiid when it comes to Jared Allen, who, bless his heart, I mean, weighs maybe 195 pounds, and 10 of that is his hair. And he just cannot push Joel Embiid out of the way at all. So it's just, it's physical basketball. It's playoff basketball. And I think that when you have teams that have a little bit of an edge, it always makes one more compelling basketball. Even though this series is probably over, I think it also exposed some things that people are going to do against Philadelphia in the next round. You can see that Embiid physically is not 100% with his knee. And you can see that Ben Simmons still does not want to shoot the basketball. And Jimmy Butler has not been shooting it very well with Tobias Harris non-factor. So, I mean, I think that you can put some pressure on Philadelphia in the next round just by looking at what the Nets have been able to do, a team that's very limited physically and a team that has no experience in the postseason, basically.
Raptors went up on the Magic yesterday 3-1, so that series should be closing out here. Sue Kawhi Leonard dropping some nice points. So they'll take on the winner of the Sixers and Nets. And then on the other one, Celtics do the sweep, man, 4-0. I think if I'm a Pels fan, I like seeing that because you would have gotten nervous if they get bounced in the first, because then there goes Kyrie Irving. So I need to see them go a little deeper. It's Bucks and Pistons. Milwaukee can close that out tonight. They're up 3-0. That game's at 7:00. So you're looking at Boston and Milwaukee in that series. It shapes up to be a good one.
But yeah, like you said, if you're a Pelicans fan, you want that series to go 7 with Milwaukee winning it. That would be your dream, because then you could go. You figure Danny Ainge could walk up to Kyrie Irving and say, "Look, we just don't have anybody who matches up with Giannis.
If we had
somebody who could go up against Giannis, we'd be in the NBA Finals right now. Let's go get AD. We've got plenty of wings. You'll have the ball. He doesn't want to have to handle the ball all the time. Great thing. That's what you're hoping for." But I think generally the Celtics are going to have to work really hard on keeping Giannis out of the paint. And that's one of those things that, of course, everyone says that. But Boston does not have anyone with the agility, the speed, and the strength of Giannis. Al Horford is a great defender, but they're going to have to work really hard at denying him touches early on and forcing him to shoot the basketball from distance. If they can make him into a mid-range scorer rather than a low post or a fast break scorer, I mean, the guy, what, one dribble from half court and he can dunk. So, yeah, you can't allow them to get into transition. I think the Celtics have to slow these games down as much as possible.
Say that again, because it's ridiculous. One dribble from half court. It's
one dribble. One dribble. It's crazy. He took two dribbles to go end to end.
No, it's incredible, really, when you look at it. All right, so that kind of brings us up to date to where we are in the postseason, in case people look. It's crazy. I was making this comment, David, as we wrap up. Over the weekend of some friends that, and I watch the playoffs and I'm interested and I'm looking, but you've had so many sports stories, man, just in this past week. Will Wade, new LSU AD. I didn't even ask you about LSU going on in there. And then the new Pels general manager. It's like, yeah, oh, by the way, the playoffs are going on, you know? Tiger Woods, right. I mean, it's incredible when you think of how busy just the last 10 days have been.
It's just been amazing. And then, of course, with all the kids who are declaring and that becoming part of it, and then dealing with what's, you know, these different flagrant fouls being rescinded in the playoffs. It's just been a very weird postseason so far. You know, this feels like the warm-up round, and hopefully it gets a lot more interesting in the second. But there have been those bits and pieces, and you start – there have been some really good games, too. You know, and that's the thing. I think it's just been lost. And like you said, this whole full environment of sports right now. But the games have been, for the most part, very good.
DM Grubb over on Twitter, Crescent City Sports, comes to Tigers as well. You doing anything for the draft?
I'm supposed to come hang out for the NFL draft?
Yeah. Yeah, are you writing anything for the NFL draft based on
no,
the LSU
no,
guys?
No, no, okay. No. I'm going to leave that one alone. I may do some reaction afterwards to see where guys go. But beforehand, I leave that to the guys who do the scouting stuff. That ain't for me.
No, I just was asking, wanted to promote you and just make sure people see and stuff. Cause we'll be out there over at Hooters on Friday. If you want to come hang out, we'll be out there.
Right.
So be doing the show. Thank you, David, as always, man.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Yep, for sure. David Grubb, Crescent City Sports. Jordan, the intern, how are you today, man? Did you have a nice Easter weekend?
Yeah, I did have fun. I ran the Crescent City Classic.
I was surprised. I didn't even know you were running.
Yeah.
Most people train for that, Joey.
I had a few brownies the night before, so I guess that
you
was,
had brownies.
Yes, a few nights before. But I made it. I made it in the top 100.
What kind of brownies, by the way?
Regular brownies.
Okay, I was just the way you said it, you were like, you almost said it like you were using it as a way to train. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it was just
Most people like run weeks before that.
I had crawfish. I had crawfish
exactly,
and brownies the night before.
Well, crawfish and brownies the night before,
yes. And I still completed it.
I'm impressed.
Had the medal.
I'm impressed. Sports Hangover continues next. We'll talk a little bit more about the draft. I'll get your take as well from what you thought with Mickey Lewis. We'll play all of that sound the rest of this hour as well. We got a lot. Spoke for what, 20, 24 minutes?
25.
25 minutes. So did he say it much? What was the one? I'll give you 3 minutes during the break. What's the one thing that stood out of everything he said? You got 3 minutes to come back with the one thing that stood out. This is called training.
Okay.
This is part of your internship,
Let's
right?
go.
Exactly. So, like, if you were to start your own show, what would be the thing that you would open up with if, like, the show started next?
He said nothing.
That's what you're coming up with, huh?
No.
You don't even need 3 minutes?
I probably need 10 seconds.
Sports Hangover continue next on ESPN New Orleans.
Look at them yo-yos. That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on MTV.
But at Buck and Vince's Busiest Raining Cash during the Spring Fest sales event, drive home in a new 2018 Eclipse Cross and take $4,500 off the MSRP, or jump into a new 2019 Outlander Sport and take $4,000 off the MSRP. You want a little bit more? How about right now, take $5,000 off the MSRP when you choose a new 2019 Outlander SEL with seating for 7, Apple CarPlay, and leather seats. Now, that's how we roll during the Spring Fest at Buck and Vince's Busiest, with $4,500 off Eclipse Cross, $4,000 off new Outlander Sport, and $5,000 off new Outlander SEL. Plus, all these new Barker Mitsubishi come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So come save thousands during the Spring Fest sales event only at Barker Mitsubishi in Houma, or shop online at BarkerMitsubishi.com. Come see me, people, and remember that shrimp and laughter.
18KT 129, MSRP 2438, 2,000 villages, 2,000 factory rebate. Stock number 19T063, MSRP 23820, 3,000 village discount, 1,000 factory rebate. 19T055, MSRP 3910, 3,000 village discount, 2,000 factory rebate. With CCML to deal for details. 1C Sluice Evolution and MIEV. Sale and save for 30, 2019.
Megan here with Vision Communications. Have you checked out Vision's Lightwave TV yet? With Lightwave TV, you get a more modern interactive program guide, better search features, true multi-room DVR, access to new channels, and so much more. Upgrade to Lightwave TV today and pay only $65 a month. That's only $65 a month and includes 2 set-top boxes and DVR service. Call today for offer details and to learn more about Lightwave TV. A better way to watch. From Vision Communications, bringing you a better vision.
El Paso Mexican Restaurant in Raceland is well known for their authentic Mexican food. Come and enjoy their delicious lunch specials and happy hour from 3 till 7 with $2 ice cold beer and 2-for-1 margaritas. Cinco de Mayo celebration is the best party on the bayou. El Paso Mexican Restaurant in Raceland will be featuring a live mariachi band for 3 days from May 3rd to May 5th. Don't miss the $2 cold beer and 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close all 3 days at El Paso Mexican Restaurant on Highway 1 in Raceland.
The Gadry Law Group handles wrongful death cases, cases that require an experienced personal injury lawyer. These cases involve severe injustices like police, prison violence, or accidental death cases. You need an expert legal team to help you recover lost wages, funeral expenses, and other damages. Some lawyers may overlook many details, from 18-wheeler accidents to chemical plant explosions. The Gadry Law Group helps their clients receive the compensation they deserve. Get Gadry and get results. Call 985-223-4400 or check them out on Facebook.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Gus Kattengill with you on ESPN New Orleans. At ESPN Radio NOLA is the way to chime in on social media. All right, Jordan, I gave you 3 minutes.
It's 3 minutes already up that quick?
That's it. You're done. Wow. So go ahead.
All right.
And so, give me what you think is the number one thing that stood out from Mickey Loomis earlier this afternoon.
Well, there was a lot of questions being asked on, you know, his philosophy of moving up in the draft or if he would move back in the draft. And he kind of just said that it's a deep draft this year. So they're going to look to see who they could get at number 62 in there. They're liking what they're seeing so far. So
yeah, all right. So that's the one thing that you took out of it. Okay, cool. I was just asking because you were there. You got the sense and feel. We got a ton of sound, which we'll get into here in a quick second. Brian wants to chime in on some of the topics that we've been talking about here as well. Brian, what's going on, man? You'll be part of our coverage on Friday. What's going on, dude?
Nothing much, brother. How are you?
Good. Look, you and I have talked about this off the air. We've talked about it on the air when you were here last week as well. The philosophy of moving into number one. And again, to me, it starts with you'd have to mortgage some picks from the future. I don't know if Drew is coming back. If it's not Drew and it's Teddy, I don't want to completely not give him help that he needs or where the team may go. I don't know where the season's going to go. There's hope and belief that they're a playoff team, maybe contending for the NFC crown. I don't know. I can't go there just yet. Or do you go all in, double or nothing, and try to go find that one player that pretty much puts you in the Super Bowl? But who is that, Brian? You get what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I don't see there being a player out there that's going to just absolutely put the Saints over the top. Because, I mean, if you look at the roster, they were, and if you really believe what you, you know, said all this time, and by you, I mean Saints fans and those in general, if you really believe the Saints were truly one blown call away from the Super Bowl, then there's no one player that you need to add that's going to put you over the top. You just run it back, you execute better. Hopefully the O-line stays healthy and you go from there. But I don't think there's a player that the Saints are going to try to mortgage their future for. If anything, I can't say they'll stay at 62. But I don't see them moving from 62 into the first round. I think that's too much draft capital that has to be given up in order to make that move. I can see them moving up further into the second round and possibly even taking some of those later picks and moving into the third round instead. But I don't see a major move coming or a major shakeup coming.
And I think that's what I look at. The other thing you and I have talked about as well, Brian, is like last year, and again, I went over some of the draft picks that this team had a season ago. Where are they getting in? Right? I mean, where are the roster spots that they're going to be competing for and trying to get in? Because I think that team is sort of, that deep as it is already. So if you're going to go in the first, what are you telling me? Like, what is that player's got to be? It can't be like a Marcus Davenport where you're projecting a couple of years from now he's going to help you. You're going to do that now. You better hope that guy can come in and do what, Brian, if you're going into the first round?
Oh, he has to not only start, but he has to make a major impact. So it's got to be a guy that you absolutely believe is going to come in from the moment he steps foot on the field. And he's going to be basically what Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara were.
Bingo.
He's going to have to be that impactful. If not, then you're wasting your time using a first-round pick on anybody, especially because you have to trade into the first round to get that person.
Right. And I guess that's what I'm getting at. Look, I mean, those type of players, whether it's Montez Sweat, who what is injured and is trying to come back, Greedy Williams, Devin White, Ed Oliver, Bosa, I mean, we're talking top 10. I mean, I just don't see that 10 to 15. Definitely don't see it 15 to 20. And to read more realistically, 25 to 32 is what you probably wouldn't have to mortgage a ton. And I just don't see a player 25 to 32, Brian, that makes me go, all right, let's give up this year second and move. I don't see a player like that. Now, again, I'm not the scout. I'm not a coach, but I just don't see that.
No, neither do I. And to be honest, I know so many fans out there are clamoring for receiver, which, it's understandable at some point, but you have to remember, you're not looking for a slot receiver right now. If you're looking for anything receiver-wise, you want somebody to go on the outside, and a lot of those catches are going to go to Jared Cook and of course, Alvin Kamara as well. So, I mean, if you're drafting a receiver number one, especially considering you have to trade up to even get that receiver, he's not going to make that much of an impact because you still have Cameron Meredith, you still have Trey Quine, you still have Keith Kirkwood, and, of course, you have Michael Thomas, who can also play in a slot and move around. So I don't think it's going to be that much of a need as far as the receiver position is concerned to say trade into the first round and go get maybe a Paris Campbell or one of these other, top receiving threats. I don't think that's even a position. If you're going to trade into the first round, and Saints fans won't like it, but they're probably trading for offensive linemen for, I guess, backup for Teron Armstead or maybe even a starter if you're going to get rid of Andre Pete.
That's what I wanted to get into. I know you and I, for a while, have been going back and forth, and you've put out there on social media to you would have traded Andres Pete, save yourself some cap space and do all that. But here it is. At the end of the day, there's going to be players you're going to have to play, pay for here. Mickey Loomis said no comment today in talking about a future deal with Michael Thomas maybe happening this season. But bottom line, you're going to have to start deciding who you play and who you don't play. That left side concerns me from one aspect of it. A, you're going to have to pay Andres Pete. He's a guy that starts at guard, can play tackle. That's valuable in the NFL, so value means money. And two, left tackle at Teron Armstead. I love the guy. He's a great guy. Can't stay healthy. I mean, bad luck. However you want to look at it, you can't do. And you saw last year, man, when that side of the line started getting nicked up, It just hurts all the way around. I'm with you. I'm at 62. I'm at least peeking on my board, and I'm seeing where that guy ranks on my numbers that has left tackle guard next to his name and in with the best player available. If it's within five, I'm going offensive line.
Yeah, no question about that. And one thing, you know, you kind of left out is the idea that Andres Pete himself has been pretty injury prone during his career with the Saints as well. So it's not like he's, you know, totally finished the season either being healthy for that left guard spot. They kind of moved him around, started him on the right side, had, you know, finally figured out that he's better on the left. And even if he can play left tackle on a bench, he's not really the most athletic guy you want at left tackle. So I do think if there's a position of need for the Saints, it's definitely O-line depth, especially with Pete being a guy that you're possibly going to have to pay. And I just can't see them breaking the bank for Andres Pete, not being one of, you know, top five, top ten guards in the NFL. I can't see them paying him that way. And I do think you have to consider what happens with Michael Thomas and some of the other guys you have coming up. Larry Warford, also another guy close to a new contract. So over the next 2 years or so, the Saints have to make some really tough decisions on who they're going to pay and who they're going to let walk.
I think one of the other things, too, I think that you and I can agree on, when I look at the Saints having a pick in the second, then waiting all the way into the fifth round, pick 30, that's a long time, man. And you and I talked a little bit about this. When you take a look at the players that this team has gotten in rounds 2 and 3, Thomas, Kamara, Armstead, Warford, Cook, Anzalone, Davis, Bell, Williams, whether drafted by the Saints or not, man, that second, third round is money. And I could easily see the team, like, if you want to start mortgaging stuff, man, not having a pick in the third and fourth, to me, I think gets Sean Payton antsy.
Yeah, no question. There's no way possible, and that's why I kind of alluded to it earlier. No, if they're going to have those 2 fifths, 2 sixths, and that seventh, I don't think they're going to sit and wait. I think they're going to possibly try to package those picks, get a third rounder here and there. Maybe we'll see them move a player that they may not need. You know, maybe they have a little bit of depth, so they may move a player here or there. But I don't think no way possible Sean Payton is going to just sit on his hands and allow the rest of this draft to pass without a, you know, another second round pick, a third round, and a fourth round pick. No way possible. The third round has been pretty money for the Saints. It's a round they got Jimmy Graham in. They also drafted Akeem Hicks in that round as well. So it's been pretty good to the Saints. I can't see them allowing themselves to just sit back and say, we're not going to participate in the draft other than the second round pick that we have, and we'll wait till the fifth round to get somebody.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now, could you envision Andres Pete being used in the trade on draft day to try to get some picks?
I think he's one of the very few assets at the same time that are actually tradable. The problem is if you trade Andres Pete, and that means you're telling me either Cameron Tom or Will Clapp is ready to step into that role and, you know, be fully go, or you're saying that you're going to pay Nick Easton, slide him over, and then move Cameron Tom up into the center spot. So
right.
Andres Pete is moved. It's going to play musical chairs along the offensive line, and we're going to have to see who actually fills in and how that line solidifies themselves. Nick Easton, more of a guard than a center, and I think Cameron Tom could be ready to take that next step up. So if they trade Andres Pete, I think that's the domino that says, okay, we're going to go young on the O-line and start making it from there.
Yeah, no doubt, man. We're looking forward to seeing you out there on Friday. You cover the NFC South Force throughout the football season, so guess what we're going to focus on when you get there on Friday? I want to look at these teams because, look, I'm nervous. I see you had Oliver to the Falcons, Devin White to the Bucks. Those are impactful type defensive players that the Saints could be facing. So let's talk a little bit about that NFC South, man.
Will do, my brother. I'll be looking forward to this Friday.
For sure, man. Take care. Drive safe. We'll see you soon.
Got it.
All right. What are you shaking your head for? Are you nervous to see Ed Oliver in a Falcon uniform?
Yeah.
Quinnen Williams, I saw that too. The Falcons moving up to go get him.
Rise up.
All right, that's
it. I saw a really funny tweet, though, the other day. It says, Jesus rose up before the Falcons.
How's that funny?
I don't know. I don't know,
it was funny in your head.
Yeah.
And then when you said it out loud, you realized it wasn't.
It was kind of stupid.
Yeah,
but
there we go.
It kind of gave me a little laugh.
At least you went through the thought process and realized it. When we come back, Mickey Loomis, what he had to say next on ESPN New Orleans.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle. It took 15 minutes to click on the banner ad entitled, You Won't Believe What These Child Stars Look Like Now. Be dissatisfied, and kind of sad, about how the child stars look. And now your computer is plagued by incessant pop-up ads.
Oh, this can't be good.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 clickbait minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
Want to know my secret to make a great-looking lawn last even longer?
All it takes is a second feeding of Scott's Turf Builder Lawn Food. With a simple second feeding, your lush lawn is here to stay. Because a second feeding of Scott's reinvigorates lawns by providing nutrients, which helps prevent browning and withering as the weather warms.
My green grass isn't going anywhere.
This is a Scott's Yard. Pick up Scott's Turf Builder Lawn Food today.
The gong, an instrument used to signal the end of really long drum solos. In my computer career, it celebrates the beginning of a student's new life as an IT professional and completion of a student journey focused on the result, getting you out of an unrewarding job and into an IT career in as little as 4 months, even with zero IT experience. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Hi, this is Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, inviting you to take a Louisiana staycation. Do you know the story of the Baroness de Pentalva? Learn how she helped design Jackson Square and the impact her life had on the French Quarter at the Cabildo now. You have a sports fan in the family? The Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame in Natchitoches is just a ticket. One of 9 museums that tell thousands of stories to feed your soul. Plan your family staycation at one of our great museums in Louisiana at louisianatravel.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Office of Tourism.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
We'll be at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans on Thursday for round number one. Join the intern. You're excited about that, seeing a little golf. Remember, you got to get the golf voice ready.
Yeah. Can I bring out my own clubs?
That's how you do it. Yeah. No, you can't bring out your own clubs. You can't play.
I'll hit a few.
No.
I can't wait for that Acme Oyster House food.
Once again, be nice if you actually enjoy doing what you do other than the food.
When I see Brooks Koepka, I'm going to...
You're going to think of an oyster po' boy? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, I might grab an oyster and be like, here.
Some fried shrimp.
Hand them one.
Every time there's a birdie, you get a fried shrimp.
Might throw one at a few players.
You cannot throw. All right. You know what?
They'll enjoy it because
they're hungry. No, they're not enjoying it. Anyway, Thursday night, round one. Do you think you're going to be a little bit busy? Mickey Loomis had this to say.
Probably. Potentially. We'll see when we get there. But it's pretty hard to go from 62 into the first round, but we'll see what happens.
Thank you. And don't focus on that last part. Let's see what happens. I mean, again, I can tell you what you're going to be. You're giving up next year's first.
But, Gus, if you're a playoff team and win the Super Bowl, you're 30, 31, 32.
I hear you. What if you're not? Give me all that hope that you want going into the season on the field, but I think you got to approach it like you're not. Does that make any sense? Can you be cautious and aggressive at the same time? I think you can be. You can be aggressive in free agency, Jordan. You can be aggressive in trying to develop players, trying to acquire players and trade. You can be aggressive. I think you got to be cautious when it comes to draft. The draft matters. The Saints were 7-9, 3 straight seasons under this head coach, under this general manager, with Drew Brees at quarterback because they failed at 2 drafts miserably, as in no players on the team. It matters. NBA, 2 rounds, 1 of them's guaranteed. The second, man, they barely make the squads in the NBA. I get it. Major League Baseball is like 50 rounds. Great. In the NFL, your backbone is the middle round. Saturday is your backbones, your special teams, your depth. Friday, guys that can make an impact. And then on Thursday, you're looking for a franchise building block.
To me, that's what a first-round pick is, a building block. Starter, for sure. Your first-round pick needs to be a starter. Second and third, contributor. For the Saints, it's been stars. Kamara and Thomas. Those are big, big moves. I can't mortgage it. I'm not in desperation mode just yet. I don't think you need to be in desperation mode. Again, if you're a call away, would you lose this year? Mark Ingram and Alex Okafor. If they missed a game last year, did you think the Saints couldn't win? Because it happened. They won. I think you've gotten a little stronger as well in the D-line position. You absolutely upgraded at tight end. I think you're at least close to the same as to the production level that Mark Ingram gave you in Murray. I don't see the need. 25 to 32 is what I'm talking about. And as we go further down towards one, it's pricier. Now, you're looking for a player like that. You want to argue, hey, well, let's go get a dynamite. Okay, that's great. Nick Bosa, two. What is that going to cost you? Josh Allen, edge rusher, Kentucky. What is that? You just drafted one. Montez Sweat. Dude's good. Coming off of an injury. Quinnen Williams. Raphael said most athletic defensive lineman in the draft. Great. He's five. What are you giving up for that? Rashawn Gary, six. Just going over defenders here. Greedy Williams, eight. A lot of mock drafts. Ed Oliver, nine in some mock drafts. Defensive line. Devin White, some mock drafts have him going six or five to the Bucks. The ones I'm looking at right now, 10, 11. I mean, again, I'm just going down and down and just through these. You're having to move up a lot, and I just don't see it. And by the way, for all y'all that love y'all selves, some DK Metcalf, the receiver from Ole Miss, you're looking to mid-early 20s. Do you really want to give up next year's first-round pick for a guy who's going to go somewhere in the 20 to 27 range, 28 range? At receiver, is that the absolute need you need? If your tight end can catch and do anything, do you really need that guy? Again, I'm not ready to give up on Tre'Quan Smith. I'm not ready to give up on Keith Kirkwood. Let's see what you can do there and develop them. The Saints won a Super Bowl with receivers that weren't very high draft picks. Meacham was the highest. Mickey Loomis on the draft process.
Yeah, well, look, that's what we've had meetings with our coaches and in our scouts in one room, and so that process has already taken place. You know, we value our coaches' opinions on these players. You know, they're the guys that are going to have to coach them, and they have a vision for how they can be used. You know, in our defensive and offensive and special team system, so we value their opinion. That they're part of the process.
In connection with, say, a head coach in college, and that you trust.
Yeah.
And because some of them will tell you great things about no matter who it is.
Yeah.
And some of them will give you a real strong opinion.
Yeah. Look, that's the advantage of having a lot of coaches and scouts involved in the process. Is that they all have relationships, and different relationships with different coaches that they've worked with or been around. And have built relationships over the years. So, you know, there's a lot of valuable information that we get through those relationships.
One of the reasons the Saints, if we go to break here and come back and continue our discussion, have had some successes of late and have been a, you know, very good playoff team and going into championship windows, they've done really well, again, in drafting in the, you know, middle rounds here, outside of the first round. In terms of this, you know, like a guy like Kamara, he was not featured at all in college in Tennessee.
I didn't know about them. It's communication and getting out there, trusting your scouts. So let's see what they can do. That's why, again, if there's something is just shining to me like a no vacancy neon sign, it's the no picks in the third and fourth round. I'd be shocked if I come to you next Monday and say the Saints stayed all the way to five before getting a pick in the third and fourth round. I just would be shocked about that. Sports Hangover continue with more with Mickey Loomis, what he had to say earlier today about the draft coming up on Thursday, round one, rounds two and three on Friday, rounds four through seven Saturday. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Day one, taking opioids.
It's not hurting my family.
Day three, taking opioids.
It's not hurting my family.
Day five, taking opioids.
It's not hurting my family.
Day seven, taking opioids.
It's hurting my family.
Addiction to opioids, like the painkillers Lortab and Percocet, tears families apart. So know the risks before you take them and get help now if you're currently taking them and can't stop. For help with addiction, including services covered by Medicaid, visit opioidhelpla.org.
Thursdays have lunch with the Sports Hangover at our ESPN Lunch Club as we're live at Vinny's in Metairie, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive. Each and every Thursday, we'll do the show live from Vinny's where you can enjoy delicious fresh wraps, burgers, and more. Vinny's is also home to the best happy hour in town, 3 to 7 p.m. every day. And that happy hour includes signature cocktails. Stop in this and every Thursday at Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive in Metairie for the Sports Hangover, 12 to 3 p.m. on ESPN New Orleans.
DC, very intrigued by the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
The Marty Party is always welcome here, no matter what he's into, what he's doing. Paintballing today in France with the Michigan football team, because of course he did.
You know Harbaugh's great at that, right?
Paintball? Oh, for sure. Marty, thank you for being on with us. Is indeed Jim Harbaugh great at paintball?
No.
The Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats coming up next after Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
What is hope? Hope to me was just that he would get to come home. I had no idea how hard it would be once he got back.
I wish she'd stop drinking so much. She thinks it's helping, but it's not. I hope she sees that soon.
I act like I don't care if he comes to my games. But I hope he does.
I used to hope he'd find happiness again. Now I hope our marriage makes it.
I hope Grandpa will get help. He thinks it's too late, but it's not.
With everything that he's going through, I hope he sees a counselor. I just want my brother back.
I hoped he'd get help. Stop hoping things would get better on their own. He told me to stop asking. I didn't. Then one day he asked for a ride.
Hope is knowing there are other families just like yours, that the veterans they love got help and recovered. Go to maketheconnection.net and turn hope into action.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high-speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Yeah, I'm not going to discuss that. Larry, good try, though.
Oh! What was that based
Your
on?
Your best friend over there trying to
stir the pot. Trying to create a situation. That was the question from Larry Holder. The Athletic asked about, hey, Michael Thomas, right? About new deal? New deal? Do it now? Do it later? New contract? Jordan, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Was it about trying to get a deal done this year? Or any
there
talks?
Was any if there was any talking, if there was any go-abouts.
Wait, let me hear that again.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to discuss that. Larry, good try, though.
I think they are. It's the way he said it. You
got all that from 2 seconds.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to discuss that. Larry, good try, though.
Hmm. Not going to discuss that, meaning I think they've gotten a phone call. I think they probably got, because again, if they hadn't, he would have said, we haven't. He said that in the past. He has said, he's also, you know, we don't discuss contracts or deals. You know what I'm saying? You hear the hesitation at the very beginning?
Yeah, I'm not going to discuss that. Larry, good try, though.
What do you think? I think they've talked about it. I think there's been a conversation. Goes, oh, boy, here we go. Well, here's the thing, though. It's not the wrong thing to do, right? In terms of just that, I mean, it didn't have to be a negotiation. It could just simply be Jordan, you know, next time they just chat, I'd be like, hey, man, what's going on, man? Everything going well? You know, you're his agent. You're Michael Thomas's agent, right? And I'm like, hey, man, let's go. Look, by the way, dude, look, just give me a ballpark, man. What are we looking at over the next year or so I can start getting, you know, laying the groundwork, man? You know what I'm saying? Like a conversation you normally have with, I don't think the only time general managers speak with agents for the most part is when their deal is done. You know what I'm saying? You probably have communications. You've probably been chatting. I think we've all seen on social media, Michael Thomas likes, retweets, thumbs ups, uses emojis when receivers get new deals, right? We all know that. And again, would it be prudent? And we brought this up earlier. Jordan, remember? I brought this up earlier in the year. This year. If I'm Mickey Loomis, would I not try to get that deal done now? And also, if I'm Michael Thomas, and I know this could be the last year for Drew Brees, am I not trying to get that done now? Get what I'm getting at? If I wait till my deal comes up, I don't know who the quarterback is next year, and it's not Drew Brees, and my number's going to be the same. It's a big gamble. I try to get as much guaranteed money as I can right now. Does that make sense? Pete, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. What you got for us, man?
Hey, brother. I just wanted to call in. I was thinking, my opinion, I don't think the Saints should try to jump into the first round.
Uh-huh.
The reason why I say that is I don't think we have a starter position that's really open on the team. The only thing that I really see is that we may try to cut some fat, and the only two people that they would be looking to cut would be Andres Pete, and I don't mean cut, I'm talking about getting rid of, would be Andres Pete and A.J. Klein. And if you've been watching and reading what the Saints have been doing, some of the people that they really like are going to be early second-round players, such as, and I'm not going to say no names, the linebacker from Louisiana Tech. He's a pass rusher, and he's a very good linebacker, and they like him, and they also like the offensive center from A&M and from Wisconsin. And both mm-hmm. of these guys are going to be early second-round picks. I think they may do a trade, or at least a Pete. I think Klein may just get cut. But I think they may do a trade with Pete to get another second-round pick. And you're going to see them move up a little bit and grab one of these guys, because these guys are going to help out in the future, or maybe at least contribute now. I don't think they need to go into the first round and try to strike gold, because they already have gold, but I mean they have the starters are pretty much etched in stone everywhere, but maybe your third linebacker and maybe you just don't know who exactly is going to be on your offensive line or where it's just say, but I mean you're solid everywhere else. So why would you go in the first round and rob Peter to pay Paul when you're going to lose Drew Brees next year? And you're going to need all the picks you can get. I truly mm-hmm. believe that this is where you're going to get rid of Pete to get that extra pick, and they're going to get a cheaper offensive lineman that's going to be younger and as good, because I think you're still going to get one of the top two centers in the league if they do get him in a second. Mm-hmm. And they still may be able to get that linebacker. I do think I've seen on about three or four occasions where they really like him. I can't think of his name right now. But he's the outside linebacker for Louisiana Tech, and he's a sack machine. So I think they like him a lot, and I think you're going to see the Saints move up, but I don't think it's going to be the jump that everybody really wants them to do. I think we're going to sit quietly and just eat popcorn Friday. I mean, Thursday. Y'all hear me going, fellas?
I'm with you, man. Thank you so much, Pete. I appreciate it. I think Thursday, just sit there and you just see what happens, and then come Friday, let's go. Let's get going, right? I mean, I honestly feel that's
probably the best play, you know, more than anything. I don't know, man. I just look at it and think, I just don't think you need to be 100% all in and try to get to the first round. To me, what's more important is to try to get a second or a third round pick. Honestly, I think that's a key, you know. Try to get a third round pick, a fourth round pick. That's been something where they've really helped. Jalen Ferguson, by the way, is the Louisiana Tech pass rusher that maybe you're thinking of. 6'5", 259. We'll hear more from Mickey Loomis when we come back top of the hour. I'll shut up and just keep playing what the general manager had to say. It's the Sports Hangover Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans.
All the love that he just found and the reason name of his latest flame.